As we crossed to the reservoir, a column of water lifted up out of the tank. It rose and twisted, extruding bumps and whiskers that slowly formed themselves into the features of a large dragon. As the face took on shape and character, it darkened in whorls and swirls, like a fine tea when you first stir it. Its scales shaded in from the lightest hint of jade at the center to a deep seaweed green along the edges. The change rolled back from a head longer than my own 5'11", coloring in his thick, ropey neck and the many looping coils of his snake-like body. Shang was big, perhaps 100 feet from nose to tail. He smiled at Harad when he bent down to touch his nose to the old man's forehead, a disconcerting expression that exposed teeth longer than my forearm. Once he had greeted his partner, he turned my way. Dark green eyes, the size of an extended hand, fixed on me, and he spoke in a deep, watery mind voice.
Hello, Arul. What trouble have you found for yourself this time?
I don't find trouble, it finds me. I didn't seek this out. Besides, who's to say that it's trouble?
It's a wedding ring. They exist for trouble. I have watched your people for 2,000 years, and yet this magic is a new thing for me. I would have thought your experiences with the Kotmerk and the Signet of Heaven would have taught you to avoid such pretty baubles.
He's got a point, Arul. Rings have not been good luck for us.
I can't argue with that, Triss. But there was something about Shang's tone that makes me think he's teasing me as much as advising me. It's hard to tell the difference with dragons. I bow to your wisdom, Venerable One.
Which I did, giving him the full formal court version.
But I'm afraid that the lady made me an offer I simply couldn't refuse.
Oh, such is the power of some women over some men. Now let me examine this fancy of yours.
He bent lower still and twisted his head to the side so that he could bring one great eye within inches of the smoke ring.
Very interesting. Hold it out and let me smell it.
My entire hand slid into a nostril big enough to engulf my head, though I could still see it through his translucent flesh.
One last test.
He opened his mouth, and his enormous tongue shot forward. Before I could think to protest, Shang licked me from toes to top, the two forks of his tongue wrapping around me like a lover's arms. It was a profoundly weird sensation.
I would like to see this Siri of yours now.
That's a lovely idea. Any thoughts on how to manage that?
First, you will need to make a fire.
Faran, would you be so kind as to fetch some wood from Harad's apartment?
Why me?
Because fetching and carrying is the reason they invented apprentices. Aren't you going to ask how I knew you were there this time?
You knew the same way you did earlier, by knowing me. I may not always like the lessons you give me, but I do learn. I'm off to get that wood now.
20 minutes later, we had a nice little fire going beside the pool.
Okay, now what?
We wait for it to burn away to nothing. Fire devours its prey entire. Smoke is the ghost of the consumed, shadow and flame. The sacrifice must wholly burn away before the true element can arise.
That's going to take hours.
It needn't.
Harad stepped forward, put his hands out over the fire as though he were warming them. Suddenly, a thread of spell light jumped from Harad's hands to a point between Shang's eyes. The dragon opened his mouth, and a great flood of spell light burst forth, engulfing Harad in an aura of green and blue. As the light flowed down to Harad's hands, it changed color, becoming a scarlet torrent that shot from his fingers to the flames below. It all happened in the pause between two heartbeats. There was a brief burst of heat almost too intense to bear. Then the fire was gone, leaving behind ashes and a thick curl of smoke.
Come.
The smoke curl twisted back on itself, forming the rough outline of a human figure. Siri?
That was a nod. It's her.
I lend you my voice that you may speak.
Hello, Arul. I need you to come to the Sylvani Empire. It's a matter of souls and buried gods and unfinished business.
There was nothing in the world I wanted to do more than stay out of the affairs of the gods, dead or otherwise. But if Siri told me that she needed me to do so, I would make war on heaven itself.
How soon do you need me?
As soon as you can get here by land. It must be by land or the connection will fail. The ring requires certain conditions.
I really don't like this.
Child, for once in your life, respect your elders. This is the myth killer you're talking to.
You must be Faran. You were a clever girl and very promising. I'm glad you escaped the fall. Please, trust me that this is necessary.
Where are you?
South of Tavan, nearer.
Her voice fell away to nothing, and then, with a faint puff, the smoke form collapsed in on itself, and Ciri was gone.
Next time, please save the arguments until all of the important questions have been asked and answered.
Yes.
When do we leave?
We'll have to stop to collect supplies. That'll take some time. We really ought to leave here within a quarter of an hour if we want to get clear of the city tonight.
I'm coming with you.
No, you're not. You have to complete your healing here with Harad.
Look, we can have this argument, and you might even win. But if you do, I'll only sneak out and follow you like I did last time. Besides, Harad says that I'm at a stopping point in his treatment anyway, so the timing is perfect.
What I said was that we needed to take a break from your sessions so that you could rest and see how the healing was working. A 2,000-mile speedrun across the eastern edge of the 11 Kingdoms isn't exactly what I had in mind.
It'll be much more restful for me than staying here would be. I'd fret myself into a mess worrying about all the trouble Aurel will get himself into if he doesn't have anyone to watch his back.
Hey!
You know what I mean, Triss. Given the sort of trouble a buried god is likely to pose, can you honestly say that you won't need all the help you can get?
Well, I'm not taking you anywhere unless Cythra and Shang both agree.
I gave up arguing with her when she gets this tone in her voice years ago. But you're right. If Shang doesn't think it's a good idea, we're not going. Harad might be the one formally in charge of your treatment, but Shang is ultimately responsible for your progress and healing.
All eyes turned to the river dragon. Shang tilted his head to one side so that he could look deep into Faran's eyes with one of his own.
I know your vision is much improved, but tell me true, child, how are your headaches?
Bad. But not nearly so frequent as they were, and never so awful that I think about killing myself anymore.
If you do this thing, I do not believe that you will backslide, but you will not get better either. It is true that you need a time away from my active care to see what we have done so far. But if you spend the time moving about rather than resting, what might have taken a few weeks will take some months at the least, and I won't be there to soothe the pain for you.
I know. But I won't be resting if I don't go with Aurel either. I'll be stuck here alone with Cythra and going mad with worry. He's too gentle, and that's gonna get him killed one of these days.
The gentle assassin. Now there's an interesting turn of thought. What do you think of that, Aurel?
Faran's right that I prefer not to kill anyone I don't have to. But my definition of who needs killing has widened a bit since our visit to the Magelands last year.
He's coming around nicely, actually.
Really? What changed?
I finally realized that the death of the goddess Justice didn't free me from my obligation to do justice. There are many monsters in this world, and for some, the only justice is death. It's what I was born for and trained for, and ultimately, death is what I am.
That's a little dark for you, but I think I like it. If I take the house and you hit the fallback, we can save an hour. Meet at the bridge where the Great West Road crosses the Xian?
Done.